Mali did not exist before this episode. What they are about to describe is happening across Southeast as you listen. This is their story. In Romsey and Southampton North, nursing training places sit unfilled while wards face critical shortages and qualified candidates wait for opportunities that never come. The decision to cap Health Education England's budget treats the recruitment of healthcare workers as an expense to be minimised rather than the pathway that connects willing people to essential work.
I wanted to be a nurse from the moment I started volunteering at Sunset Manor Care Home during my A-levels in Winchester. My mum taught biology at the local secondary school, and she always said the best careers were the ones where you could see the difference you made. Dad managed a retail team and worked weekends, but he'd always ask about the residents when I came home from shifts. There was something about being useful to people when they needed it most that felt right to me. I worked as a healthcare assistant for 2 years after finishing school, partly to save money, but mostly to understand what nursing really meant before I committed to the degree. At Royal Hampshire County Hospital, I watched the qualified nurses manage impossible caseloads with skill and patience I hoped to learn. The wards were understaffed every shift, but the nurses made it work somehow. When I applied to University of Southampton in 2019, I thought my grades and experience would be enough. Biology A, Chemistry A, Psychology B, plus 2 years on the wards. The rejection letter arrived in March. Unfortunately, we are unable to offer you a place on our nursing program. Places are extremely limited due to funding constraints from Health Education England. We receive many more qualified applications than we can accommodate. I called the admissions office. The woman who answered sounded tired, like she'd had this conversation many times. "We're only allowed to take a certain number of students each year," she explained. "Health Education England sets our commissioning numbers based on their workforce planning budget. It's not about your qualifications." Portsmouth University rejected me the following year with almost identical wording. "Due to current funding restrictions, we cannot expand our nursing cohort beyond the numbers commissioned by Health Education England." I asked if there was a waiting list. "I'm afraid not. The numbers are fixed." I stayed on as a healthcare assistant, working longer shifts to cover the gaps. Ward managers complained constantly about the staffing levels. Sister Davies on the medical ward told me they were running 30% short, i.e. most days. "We desperately need more nurses," she said, "but the trust can't recruit people who haven't been trained." It felt like a circle that couldn't be broken. In 2021, I was helping a student nurse called James with a medication round when he mentioned something that stopped me cold. "Did you know Southampton left 40 nursing places empty last year?" he said. "My girlfriend works in their admissions office. They had the applicants, but Health Education England wouldn't fund the extra places." I went home that evening and stared at my rejection letters. They had told me there was no space, but there were empty places, 40 of them. I thought about all the healthcare assistants I knew who wanted to train, all the people like me who'd been turned away. We existed. The university existed. The training programs existed. What exactly was it that there was no funding for? I applied again in 2022 and was finally accepted, though the cohort was smaller than it had been 5 years earlier. During my first placement at Southampton General Hospital, I met Selma, who'd been rejected 3 times before getting her place. "They kept saying there wasn't enough money," she told me, "but my cousin works in finance at the hospital. She said they were crying out for nurses while turning away people who wanted to train." That's when I started to see the contradiction clearly. I walked past the nursing school every day, a building designed to train hundreds of students. Half the classroom sat empty. In the library, I found old prospectuses from 2015 showing cohorts twice the size of ours. The capacity was there, the teachers were there, the people who wanted to learn were there, many of them working as healthcare assistants like I had been. Someone had made a decision that these resources should not be connected. Someone at Health Education England had looked at the shortage reports, the waiting lists, the unfilled posts, and chosen to cap the training numbers anyway. When they said there is no funding, they meant the Treasury had decided not to spend the money that would put people like me into the classrooms that were sitting empty. Where I am now, 3 years into my degree, I understand something I couldn't see at the start. I used to accept the excuse that there was no money. I hear it differently now. The government that prints the notes and mints the coins told me it could not find enough of them to train the people who were standing right there, ready to work. The real question was never about money. It was about whether the people existed, whether the skills could be taught, whether the materials were available. They were. All of them. The excuse was not a fact. It was a choice wrapped in the language of impossibility. It is the same logic as a household that says, we cannot afford it. Except a household does not issue its own currency. The government does. The limit was never the money. The limit was the willingness to spend it into the places and the people who needed it. Now, when I work on the wards and hear managers say they're desperate for qualified nurses, I think about all the people who could be here if someone in Westminster had made different choices. This is not just my story. It is the story of every constituency where people and needs exist side by side, while someone in an office says the cupboard is bare.
What Marley experienced has a name: impossible expectations. This technique demands perfect outcomes and zero waste before allowing any public investment, while applying no such standard to tax cuts or corporate subsidies. Think of a tobacco company in the 1960s demanding that critics prove cigarettes cause cancer in 100% of cases, knowing that no epidemiological study could meet such a standard. The impossible expectation was designed to delay action, not to gather evidence. In healthcare, this appears as the demand that training programs guarantee every graduate will work exactly where needed for precisely the right number of years. When Health Education England told Marley there was no funding, they were applying a standard they never applied to other spending. Bank bailouts proceeded without proof of zero waste. Tax cuts continued without evidence of perfect targeting. But nursing training faced impossible expectations. The NHS objection was always the same. The NHS is a bottomless pit. We cannot keep throwing money at it. This sets an impossible standard where no amount of evidence of need is ever sufficient. NHS costs are measurable. The UK spends less per capita on health than France, Germany, or the Netherlands. The resources existed. The people existed. The decision not to connect them was political, not financial. Romsey and Southampton North ranks 426 out of 543 English constituencies on deprivation, English Indices of Deprivation, 2025 MHCLG. The constituency has 4,372 registered charities, Charity Commission Register. Total grants received were £20 million, 360 giving grant NAVOR. All sources are published at blockedbritain.co.uk. Blocked Britain tells the stories of people whose lives are shaped by the gap between what Britain needs and what its institutions choose to provide. Every character is fictional. Every situation is drawn from official statistics. Produced by Blocked Britain.